is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
It's the second year doing this, like you said, and I think we have some really good games going on. Saturday features some of the best teams in Northeast Ohio on the girls' side. And then on Sunday, the boys take the floor with some of the best teams in Northeast Ohio.
Danny Gallagher is the girls' basketball head coach at Magnificat High School in Cleveland, Ohio. This December, Danny is bringing the second annual Cleveland Basketball Classic High School event to the campus of Baldwin-Wallace University in Berea, Ohio. The Cleveland Basketball Classic features five girls' games on Saturday, December 2nd, and five boys' games, plus an additional girls' game on Sunday, December 3rd. High school basketball fans will get to see some of the top teams in the state of Ohio compete on the court while honoring the past and present of Cleveland basketball. Hey, Hoopheads, our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball are here to help your team train bigger and better with exclusive Black Friday savings all month long. Now until November 30th, get $3,500 off the Dr. Dish CT Plus and experience firsthand what the ultimate training solution is all about. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Those are some great deals, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Chris Meadows, player development coach and author of the book, I Am D1, and you are listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Are you a basketball coach or trainer looking to connect with new clients? U-Train is here to help you manage your business and reach a wider audience. Best of all, it's completely free to use. Simply create a profile, list your services, post pins, and share your free booking website link. You can set your own rates and schedule, and use U-Train to communicate with clients, manage appointments, handle refunds, and collect payments automatically. So why wait? Join U-Train today for free and start reaching new clients. That's U-Train, U-T-R-A-I-N, U-Train. Download today on the App Store and Google Play.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Learn more about the second annual Cleveland Basketball Classic as you listen to this episode with event founder Danny Gallagher, the girls' basketball head coach at Magnificat High School in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here without my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight, but I am pleased to be joined by Danny Gallagher back for, I guess, sort of number three, but to talk about the Cleveland Basketball Classic. Danny is the head girls coach at Magnificat High School here in Cleveland, Ohio. And for the second year, he has put together an outstanding high school basketball event. Danny, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Really excited to be back.
Thrilled to have you on. Looking forward to diving into the Cleveland Basketball Classic, what's going to transpire at Baldwin-Wallace University in Berea, Ohio, here, a suburb of Cleveland. Danny, give us the itinerary for what's going to happen on Saturday, December 2nd, and Sunday, December 3rd.
Yeah, it's the second year doing this, like you said, and I think we have some really good games going on. On Saturday features some of the best teams in Northeast Ohio on the girls' side. And then on Sunday, we have the boys take the floor with some of the best teams in Northeast Ohio. This year we do have a boy-girl doubleheader going on. at least with one side, one of the opponents, Olmsted Falls, their girls team's playing at 5:20 and then their boys team's playing at 7 o'clock. But I think overall for the entire weekend, the teams that we have and the matchups that we have, are going to be some really good games to show off, you know, the type of talent we have here in Northeast Ohio.
What was the process for, I know we talked about this a little bit last year, but just refresh our memory just in terms of getting the teams. How do you go about making that recruiting call to try to get teams to participate? I know some of it's through your relationships, obviously, with other coaches, but just talk a little bit about how you made this matchup, how you made this slate, how you made it happen.
Well, like you said, last year, it was a lot of relationships, a lot of coaches that I knew, coaches that I've coached with previously. And then this year, it was actually easier to put some of these matchups together because I had a lot of interest in the event. So most of the teams wanted to come back. Even before the event last year, I had teams reaching out to me to get into it this year. I think there's a few different reasons for that. Number one, the location, you know, Baldwin Walls, I think is just an incredible place to play, an incredible place to watch games. But you know, I think the cause too, just honoring all the great players that we've had in Cleveland, the good players that we have now on both the boys and the girls side, makes it something that people want to be a part of. And, you know, it's something that I'm really excited that it went well last year and that I'm able to do again this year.
What's something that you learned last year when you start thinking about things that you wanted to improve and make what you did last year even better?
I learned how much work it really is. These things are these things you think about doing stuff like this. And, you know, I'm so glad I did and glad that I'm still doing it. But I was kind of a one man show that hired everyone out. And, just the amount of time that I put into it, was a lot, but it's well worth it when you hear all the positive feedback, you know, that I got. It's just fun. You know, it's fun for everyone to be around each other. And
what part of it takes up the most time? Like, what's the hardest part or what's the most time consuming part? Maybe not even hard, but what's the most time consuming?
You know what? Honestly, just sending all the emails to people and then getting all the information back and collecting all the data that you need and getting it all together and then getting that out to the different entities that I need to make sure other people are prepared for the event, like sponsors who are getting us t-shirts, trying to get, you know, all of those sizes together. You try and get as close, you know, as you can. But because of shipping and all of that stuff now, you really can't wait for everyone to make their team. So you're trying to get as much info as you can, but you're never going to be perfect. You know, getting the rosters to certain media outlets, getting the rosters to our game day announcer. So getting all of that information out, you know, making sure that everyone understands exactly where they're at and what we need, then getting it back and then getting it out again, just really takes up a lot of time.
We talked last year. I know one of the things that you really wanted to make sure that you did, and you talked about it a little bit here a minute ago, was just to be able to honor sort of the past and the present of Cleveland High School basketball on both the girls' side and the boys' side. So just talk a little bit more about how the history of high school basketball here in Cleveland played into, first of all, your idea to get this thing started, and then kind of what you've done to incorporate that theme into last year's classic and then into this year's.
Yeah. Just growing up and going to so many games as a kid. You know, my dad took me to so many games when I was young, and I got to see so many great players at such a young age that wanted, you know, that made me want to be a part of Cleveland basketball, the way I am today. You know, seeing some of those great players, you know, looking up to them as a young kid, you know, having the feeling that they gave me as a young kid and wanting to be able to do that for players of today and even younger kids of today that, you know, might be at the event. You know, last year we played videos. I got some of the great players from Cleveland in the past, men and women, to make short, 45-second, 1-minute videos just talking about their experience with Cleveland basketball and what it meant to them. And we had some really cool people, you know, do those videos. We started each game with Clark Kellogg doing a video, who, you know, I never got to see play because he was older and I was not born yet, but you know, everyone tells me he was the GOAT of Northeast Ohio basketball. Jawad Williams, who was a classmate of mine at St. Ed's, played at North Carolina, won a national championship at North Carolina, played for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mary Fox played at Magnificat, played at Iowa State. Nas Hillman played at Gilmore, played at Michigan, is now in the WNBA. Mike Ganzi, Olmsted Falls, West Virginia, you know, played professionally. So, you know, I tried to get people who their schools were playing in the event, so fans could kind of see someone, you know, from their history talking about their experience. And just, you know, that kind of tied everyone together. And I think people really enjoyed that. And I'm trying to get as many good ones this year. You know, trying to top Clark Kellogg will be pretty tough, but I think we'll have some good ones.
All right. You got one name for us, or are you keeping them all under wraps?
I'm not releasing them yet.
All
not
right,
quite
I got
yet.
You.
I got to make I sure I have everyone that I think I have.
Yeah. Understood. Completely understand. All right. So as you get teams to commit and you're talking to coaches, obviously one of the things that anybody who's committing to an event wants to know is, who are we going to play? And I'm sure that the coaches that you talk to have opinions about, like, hey, I like this matchup or I don't like this matchup for whatever reason. Obviously, coaches have lots of different reasons for how they schedule, why they schedule, who they want to play, who they might not want to play as much. And so I'm sure this plays into what you talked about earlier with the back and forth in terms of emails and just making sure that you get everything, all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. But how do you put together the matchups? And then once you kind of get those matchups in your head and run them by the coaches, just walk me through that process.
You know, we want to have the best games that we possibly can. You know, so there are some coaches out there that say, hey, we want to play the toughest team, the toughest game we possibly can. That might be good for that team, but might not be good for the event. And then there are also coaches that, you know, want to get an easy win. And that's also not good for the event. So, you know, I try and get commitments from everyone and say, hey, I'm going to match you up with someone that I feel is, you know, we'll provide you a good game. We'll provide the event a good game, the fans a good game. And for the most part, all the coaches were great. You know, there really wasn't much pushback. I had to, you know, maybe change a couple here or there. But I think, you know, coaches see what the event's all about and really want to be a part of it and kind of know, like, hey, I got a pretty long list of people that want to be in it already next year. So if you complain too much, you might not be back.
So how many teams approximately did you have that reached out to you about possibly participating?
I had almost 20 on both sides. So, you know, maybe just under 40 when it comes to boys and girls. You know, one cool thing that's happening this year, and this game's not a part of the event, but we're going to try and figure this out in the future. The Baldwin Wallace boys actually play on Saturday night. So our last game's at 4:30. Their game's going to tip off at 7. And anyone that bought a ticket for our event is able to stay and watch the BW game. So, you know, I think that's adding a little bit to it. You know, one year we'd love to be able to try and get, you know, BW women to play on Saturday, BW men to play on Sunday, you know, surrounded by our games, just to kind of bring it all together. So that's just kind of a new twist that we've added.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I mean, especially if you could get BW playing one of our other local Division III schools, right? And kind of add to sort of that mix.
Exactly.
That would be very cool. And again, it would expose fans of those different programs to Division III basketball, which I know that, you know, for anybody who's listened to the podcast at all, one of the things that, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking to Division III head coaches kind of across the whole country. And I think one of the things that I've learned about it is just that, you know, there's
there's so much underexposure of how good Division III basketball is, just because what do we see on TV all the time? You see the Division I, that's where all the publicity goes. That's what everybody kind of aspires to. And yet when you look at Division III basketball and how good it is, I think there's be a great opportunity for kids and parents, both players who are participating in the event and fans, to go out and be able to see a small college game in addition to the tremendous high school slate that you put together. And I think that'd be, I think it'd be really educational sometimes for the players to go and see how good a Division III game really is.
No doubt. That's, you know, you try and explain that to people and they just don't get it or don't understand it, how good you have to be to play, you know, Division III basketball.
Yeah. Being a college basketball player at any level, anybody who's getting an opportunity to do that, I mean, again, people just don't have a real understanding of how good that has to be. All right. So when you look at the two slates and you have the girls playing on Saturday, you have the boys playing on Sunday, I'm not going to ask you to list out your favorite matchup and put pressure on you and have a bunch of coaches mad at you. So talk a little bit about your team's matchup. You guys play Medina at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Yep.
Just tell us a little bit about your team and then what you're looking for against Medina.
So we return a bunch of players from our team last year. We lost one to graduation, who's playing at John Carroll this year, Abby Rossell, but our next six, are back. We lost in the regional semis last year and did not play well in that game. So we have a little bit of what we feel is unfinished business going into the season. And I feel it's the most talented team, that I've had going, that I've had since I've been at Mags, and this will be my seventh year. So we're excited. We're excited where we're at right now. Unfortunately, our soccer team lost in the regional finals this week. You know, it's kind of bittersweet that now I get my entire team back. So we've had that for the last couple of days. You certainly never want, you know, another team to lose. But now that we have our full team back and we've had that for a couple of days, we feel even better about where we're at so early in the season, just to have that continuity of having that many players back that played in the system we had last year. And as far as our matchup with Medina, we've had over the last 4 or 5 years, we've had some incredible games with Medina. Karen Case is their head coach. She does a really good job. You know, she's built a terrific program there. They've got, you know, talented players. Girl named Olivia Klanick, probably one of the best shooters in our area. Big time player. So we're excited. I think, you know, that'll be a really, really good matchup for people to come and see.
When do you guys open up?
We open up the 22nd, the night before Thanksgiving, which I think is kind of cool. We play Camp McKinley at Mags. Last year we were 20-5, and one of our losses to McKinley was to McKinley at the field house, and they kicked our butts. It was the only game that we lost by double digits last year. So we're excited to be able to play them back at home. The field house is just a different animal when you go and play down there. It is so cool, and what an incredible venue it is. But we have not had luck there, and I know most teams kind of say that. So that'll be a fun game. And then our second game of the year is against Purcell Marion, who's the reigning Division II state champs, who actually they got a couple transfers in, and their entire starting five is either committed or being recruited by Division I schools. So we put together a really tough schedule, playing, you know, not only the best in Ohio, but over the holidays, we're going up to Chicago to try and play some of the best from Chicago and Indiana. So we know we're going to be tested. And, you know, we've done that year in and year out. We'll continue to do it. And we're excited for it.
All right. So that goes to a question, not necessarily Cleveland Basketball Classic related, but certainly relatable for coaches out there. When you think about your schedule and trying to play, as you described, the best in the state of Ohio and the best that you can find as you go and travel to these various events. And this year going to Chicago, how much of that is with an eye on, hey, we don't have to put together a 20-2 regular season. I mean, not that you wouldn't want to, but you don't have to do that. It's more about getting your team prepared to play in March. Is that kind of the philosophy that you like to subscribe to?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we're independent, so we're not in a conference, so we can select whoever we want to play. Most schools can't, right? Like, they can select maybe 5 or 6 of their games, and then they're given their conference schedule. So, any high school team I've ever coached or been a part of, St. Ed's and Magnificat, both independent, learned this philosophy from Eric. We don't play for a conference championship. We don't have a regular season champ or a postseason conference champ or anything like that. So, you're playing for a state championship. You're playing to be ready for those 6 or 7 games in the postseason. And, being in the position we're in, I can't see doing it any other way. There's been a lot of talk back and forth between coaches and scheduling, and they were going to bring in the Martin RPI system to dictate seeds, and then they switched to Max Preps, and both of those systems are very different. And coaches geared their schedules towards one, and then it ended up being the other. So
right.
To me, I just threw it all out the window, and I said, look, like, no matter what, you're going to have to beat good teams. When you play in the Division I postseason tournament, you might, if you're lucky enough to get one of the top seeds, you might get one easy game, and then it's on. Anyone can beat anyone at that time. So yeah, we want to play the best year, all season long, prepare our kids for that. And it's not easy. You can run into stretches where you might lose 4 in a row. And, we've got kids now that aren't used to stuff like that. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't want it to happen, but it could happen, and it makes it harder. But in the end, you're going to be more prepared for what you're going to see in the tournament.
Yeah. And I think that's where an event like the Cleveland Basketball Classic is beneficial to anybody who participates in that, where you have a game where you're playing against, obviously, the teams that are in this thing are teams that are sort of subscribing to that same sort of scheduling theory, right? You want to play tough games against good opponents in your non-conference schedule, or if you don't have a conference schedule, just in general, you want to be able to play teams that are going to challenge you, that are going to push you, that are going to hopefully make you better. And those are games that are, they're the 50-50 games. You could win it, you could lose it, but ultimately that's a game that's going to help make you better. And that obviously makes your event better when you have games where you have two teams that are super competitive with one another. That's when you get the type of game that you're going to want to have on your schedule for something like the Cleveland Basketball Classic. Obviously, it's good for fans when you have good games and good matchups, and that's certainly what you put together here. When you start looking at what you've done on Saturday and on Sunday, all the girls' games, again, on Saturday, starting at 10:30 with CBCA versus Mentor, and then you wrap up with Stowe versus Gilmore at 4:30, and then, as you said, you got the men's BW game later that night, and then on Sunday, you start at 11 with the boys, Hawken versus Buckeye. And then, as you said, you wrap it up with the Olmsted Falls boys-girls doubleheader, the girls playing Copley at 5:20 and the boys playing against a very good Brunswick team at 7 o'clock on Sunday, December 3rd. How can people get tickets? How do they find out more about what's going on with the Cleveland Basketball Classic?
Well, we have our website, clevelandbasketballclassic.com. We are on Twitter, or now I guess it's called X. You can just search Cleveland Basketball Classic. It'll come right up. That's where most of the information is. Any of the schools participating also have information, for admission. We'll, of course, take cash at the door. We'll also have a Venmo option, and we'll also have a credit card option. So there'll be multiple ways to be able to get in. And, basically that's where all the information's at. It's been, shout out to all the schools. The schools have done a pretty good job, retweeting it or reposting it and getting it out there and sending it out to their communities. So I've gotten a lot of feedback already from excited fans, and then also from, you know, media people, scouting services, video services, that kind of stuff, that'll all be there as well.
I was fortunate enough to be able to get out there at least one of the days last year. And I know I saw Olmsted Falls play Benedictine last year, and hopefully, looking at the schedule, try to get out and see a couple more games on Saturday and on Sunday this year. Just again, looking at my schedule and trying to figure out how I can be in a million places just like everybody else. But I'm excited. there's some really good games. I think my son can play at Strong's. He'll be a senior this year. So I'm looking at, you know, we play Olmsted Falls this year. We play Berea. We obviously play Brunswick in Art League. So we got three teams that we're going to see on our schedule that, you know, go out and get a look at them. And I think we open up on Friday night against Olmsted Falls. So we'll have already seen them, but it's always fun to get out there and, and be able to see some games, especially when you look at being able to see that many games in that window where normally you go and you get a JV game and you get a varsity game here. You're going, you're getting whatever, six varsity games on Sunday, and you're getting five of them on Saturday. So if you are a basketball fan, boys, girls here in the Cleveland area, and you're looking for some great basketball, highly recommend getting out to the Cleveland Basketball Classic. Danny has done just a tremendous job. And as you've heard him talk, he's just done something to not only honor today's players, but also just to kind of connect to the past history of Cleveland high school basketball, which for anyone who's been around the city of Cleveland for a long time knows that we've had just a tremendous amount of talent in terms of individual players, but also in terms of the quality of teams that Northeast Ohio perennially produces. And so, again, just done a great job with this, Danny, and I'm excited to get out and be able to be a part of it again this year, and then see some of these great matchups that you put together. So one more time, just give people the schedule, the when, the where, and then we'll wrap things up.
Okay, we're Saturday, December 2nd, and Sunday, December 3rd, all at Baldwin Wallace. Saturday game start at 10:30 with CVCA versus Mentor. We've got a West Side rivalry here, Rocky River versus Avon, St. Joe's Academy versus Avon Lake, two coaches squaring off there that used to coach together. Then my team, Magnificat versus Medina, should be a great game. And then the 4:30 game is Stowe versus Gilmore. Stowe, coached by the legendary Bob Podges, just a great guy, great coach, someone that you can learn a lot from just watching their team. And then in the boys' side on Sunday, Hawken versus Buckeye. Coach Josh Nugent is a really good friend of mine at Hawken, who pulled off a win last year in the Cleveland Basketball Classic. Had a young team last year with everyone coming back, a couple exciting guards. Then we've got St. Ed's versus NDCL, which is actually a really cool matchup for a few different reasons. Eric Flannery, of course, you know, the head coach at St. Ed's, my mentor, is playing NDCL, and Pat Vianchik is actually the head coach now at NDCL. When I was at St. Ed's, we coached Tony Vianchik, who is Pat's son, is helping Pat. So you kind of got a coach and player going against each other, and families that really know each other. So that'll be fun. And then our one out of town team that we have coming in and coming back again is Toledo St. John's, who is a perennial powerhouse in Ohio, is playing Rhodes, who Rhodes is the first Senate team that we've had in the event. Berea Mid Park versus Gilmore, Olmsted Falls versus Copley Girls. Olmsted Falls lost in the state finals last year. Copley is loaded with talent, and have a great coach in Julie Solis. So that should be an exciting matchup. And then to kick it all, or to end it all, is Olmsted Falls versus Brunswick. And, you know, that's another great coaching battle with Coach Delisio and Coach Joe Mackey over there at Brunswick.
It's a great lineup of games. And again, if you are a fan of high school basketball, I would highly recommend grab some tickets, get out, buy some popcorn, sit in the stands at BW. As Danny said earlier, great place to watch a game. And in this case, watch multiple games. We hope we get a lot of people out there, again, supporting what Danny has put together. And Danny, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule tonight to jump on with us. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be hooking up in person at the event. So thanks to you. And thanks to everyone out there for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.